morning's tithes and offerings. So if you would prepare, I've got offering envelopes. If you're giving by cash and you'd like one, raise your hand. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's good, isn't he? Well, go ahead and lift your offering and bless God with it. Of course, you know you're going to be blessed when you give. Thank you, Father. We love you. It's our desire, Father, to honor you, to bless you, to obey you. Father, we know that as we do that, you are blessing us, that you're removing the curse from our lives. Father, that our paths and our steps are ordered by you. Lord, that your word is leading the way, Father. And Lord, on that path and in that life, we can expect good things and blessings, Father. And we expect them even now. We thank you, Lord, that you've prepared a way for us. You have an end for us, an expected end, not an accident. It's not, we'll wait and see what happens, but you have an expected end. You've got a good plan. You've got a good roadmap for everybody. And Lord, we're excited to walk in your way and in your steps. We're excited about obeying your word. We thank you, Father, that it's a good life. And Lord, I thank you in this offering time that your plan for us financially is a good plan. It's an excellent plan. It never, ever fails. It's not dependent on the market. If 10,000 fall on our right side, we'll stand. If the stock market crashes, we'll stand. Lord, I thank you, Father, that you have prepared a place for us. And I thank you for your covenant that you've established. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor, and we expect those good things that you have made available to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you can come up and sow.
Of the Lord. Did y'all get to hug somebody this morning? Why don't you do that? Hug somebody. Tell them that you love them and that you appreciate them. Amen. Tell them you love them and you appreciate them. Thank God for them. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. God forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Yo. all having a good... Has anybody got a testimony for us this morning of a good thing the Lord has done? Stand up and give it, Brother Jesse.
Well, some of y'all know, on the way home from church, we got rear-ended by a drunk driver and followed the car, and Pastor Rod, myself, and Mr. Bell in the car, and we're all fine. We're okay. God spared us. Amen.
Amen.
I'm thankful for that.
Any other good testimonies this morning? Amen. No other good testimonies this morning? Amen. How many are just glad? Yes. Anybody else got a good testimony for us this morning?
I got a good testimony.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. That is a testimony. That is a wonderful testimony. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 2. I found a new Bible. Amen. Didn't find one. I picked it up. They had these cool Bibles. Y'all look at these. Got a little magnetic strip in it. Jesse, you got a Bible? I'm going to give you this one. I got another one coming. I'll give you this one. Amen. This is a sharp one. I'm going to give it to you next week, though. No, I'll give it to you this week. Brother receives. Amen. Isn't that sharp? Isn't that a sharp one? Feels good, doesn't it? Anybody do this? Say, okay, Father.
Okay,
and try this. Okay, Dad.
Okay.
Or okay, Daddy, whatever. Everybody say, okay.
Okay.
Say, okay, Father.
Okay.
Say it one more time. Okay.
Okay.
How many got that down on the inside of you? You ever heard the scripture? There's one scripture in the Bible that says, all the promises of God are what?
Yes.
What does that mean? All the promises of God are yes and amen. Somebody find that for me. Amen. Everybody say, all of them. The promises of God. Now, I wasn't going to hit that scripture, but I got up here in front of you this morning. I got another direction I want to go, but that one just popped in my spirit. Amen. And I don't have all the pages in my Bible. Amen. And I gave the new one away. So all the promises of God are yes. Everybody say yes. And amen. Jesse, as soon as you get it, let me know. Somebody say hallelujah. But with that, what does that mean? Everybody say, yes, Lord. Or amen means what? When we say amen, what are we saying when we say amen? So be it. So be it. Let it happen. I agree. Whatever you want, I got it. Amen. So everybody say, amen. So be it. Amen. So all the promises of God are yes and amen. So if we say that, what we're really saying is, listen, if you want to see a promise of God come to fulfillment, you've got to have a yes, Lord attitude. You got to have a yes, Lord attitude and a yes, Lord spirit. Everybody say yes, Lord. And what's that text? Where is that at, Jesse, for those? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. All, someone say all, of the promises. How many have been promised something from God? How many got promises out there? You've been promised a lot of stuff. Well, how can you see those promises come to life and come to fulfillment? By agreeing with what God wants to do. Do you know every bad thing that happens in our life, every horrible thing, every rough situation, comes as a result of us just not being agreeable to the will of God or following directions specifically for our life? Does that mean we did something bad? No. No, that doesn't mean you might not have done anything bad. God's always beating you up when you don't do something. But God knows how to get out of situations and to get you through things and to get you around things, right? And a lot of times you have to trust Him. You have to trust the Lord with your life and with the things concerning and learn to follow His directions for your life, because you know what? That's how He's going to bless you. That's how He's going to bless you. Now, God sees things that you don't see. He knows things that you don't know. And He knows what door is the right door for you. He knows which door is the wrong door for you. He knows what path is right. And He knows which path is wrong. He knows exactly what to do, right? How many of you had somebody tell you to do something that you really didn't want to do, but it was the right thing? But it was the right thing, and you didn't like it when it was happening. But you know, at that time, at that point in time, it felt so wrong, and it's not what you wanted to do. It's not where you wanted to go. It was not convenient. It was not easy. But yet you did it anyhow. But after it played out, you find out, boy, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I went through that because that was the best thing for me. So you got something from something, right? Because you listened to somebody and you did the right thing. Well, you can apply this to that same scripture. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. So that means what God wants to do with your life and for your life, where he wants to get you, all you got to do is, now see, all of us, we can say yes. Most of the time we say all the promises of God, yes or amen. We think, oh yeah, God wants to give me a new house. Yes and amen to that. Amen. Yes to the end result. But when we want to say yes to the will of God, we have to say yes to every step that gets us to the end. Amen. Yes to every step that gets us to the end. How many of you know that God has a lot of ways to get us where he wants us to go? But we all want the end result. We want all the blessing. Amen. But you know how you get all the blessings? By saying yes to everything God throws your way. And I'm talking about this today because I was just getting ready and getting my stuff going. And I went out on my patio this morning just getting my head clear and all this other stuff. Just decided to get a prayer into the Lord. And deep on the inside of my spirit, I heard the Lord say, share some things with me concerning me personally, not about the ministry, but just telling me some stuff. And it was some things. I mean, it was some stuff that really required a lot. It was a heavy assignment. But you know what? It was not just what I want to do. It had to involve giving and different things. Amen. And he just said it, just popped it out. And it was so quick. It wasn't a long time. And I didn't cry about it, whine about it. And before I knew anything, I said, okay. Actually, I said it out loud, short little prayer. And you would not believe what he was requiring or what he was asking. And before I knew it, I said, okay, Father. Everybody say, okay, Father. That was my prayer. Okay, Father. Somebody say, okay, Father. That's the attitude that brings the promises to pass. You have to have faith to say, okay, Father. First of all, God is our Father. How many are you glad about that? Now, I don't know about some of you, amen, my dad died, and I never really had a relationship with my father, but I thank God that the Bible says that he's a father to the fatherless. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. And if your dad's passed away, maybe you never knew him, who knew what it was, that people have to realize that when God says, listen, I'll be a father to the fatherless, that gives you permission to say, hey, my dad's the creator of the universe. My dad made everything. Somebody say, we know who the Father is. And that is the Father in heaven. And fathers do things for children. They help them. Fathers see things that children don't see. They see things, you know, that they understand things they don't understand. And they'll say, hey, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And the wise child or the wise son or daughter, and all of us are children and of the Lord, right? We're going to have to say, okay, Dad, I'll do it. And we'll win. And I believe that's what God wants to get across to us today, is he's trying to help us, and we've got to be agreeable to what he wants to do. Even in difficult situations, he wants to get you out of where you are. And I'm going to be teaching tonight just a little bit. Some of you really need to catch this. Some of you are in a bad place. Oh boy, I can get in a bad place. Let me think, what are some bad places? Debt's a bad place. Debt's a bad place. You got bills. That's a bad place. You know, you're wrapped up against a wall. You know, most of that stuff comes from stupid decisions that we made. I made some dumb decisions, did some dumb stuff. But you know what's good about it? We're Christians. We get mercy. We get mercy. So even if you did a dumb thing, you get out of it by the mercy and grace of God. Somebody say hallelujah. But now we're talking about yes and amen. And I was going to go to this scripture right here about that, that when God was sharing some things and it seems to be so much, I said, well, Lord, that just about pulls everything that I got happening right now in. Doesn't involve, that's me, not you. Amen. Wow. But you know, we taught, amen. Each season of our lives has an assignment and a requirement. And God sees what happens next. And we don't want to be so focused on where we are right now, amen, forgetting about where he wants us to go. So I said, okay, Father. And usually when it happens because God wants to do this, go to John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now I know some of you have heard this before, but this is one thing. We got that one scripture that all the promises of God are yes and amen. But here's another thing that's going to back up our point. I know you've heard this over and over and over again, but I want you to hear it again. And Jesus was called and was his disciples to the marriage. Amen. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Everybody repeat that. Whatever.
Whatever.
Say whatever.
Whatever.
Say it one more time. Whatever.
Whatever.
Now, sometimes we could be smart. And we want to be rebellious and we mock things and we say that. You know, if you were a kid at one time, I want you to do this, I want you to go there. Girl, he going to mess your life up. Whatever. We have that whatever attitude. We don't want to have a little mocking whatever attitude. Whatever. And oh, how many of you have said that? Whatever. How many of you have been there before? You know? Whatever. No, whatever is a very powerful word. When she told this to them, he said, whatever he tells you to do. There's a reason why she said whatever, because she'd been around him for a while. She's seen him go through some things, and he's done some things, you know, and she knew that it might be something that's out there for you. So whatever it is, how many of you got that if the Lord would lead you to do something that would be a little bit different and inconvenient? Did it say whatever makes sense to you, do it? Huh? Did it say whatever is looks logical to do? It says whatever. Somebody say whatever.
Whatever.
How big can a whatever be? How big can a whatever be? See, we like to rule out God helping us. When we rule out God helping us, it's like we forfeit that promise that we have, that all the promises of God are yes and amen. It goes together. Whatsoever he says to you to do, do it. Because you know what? You got a promise. The promise is that he'll do what he wants to do, but you've got to do whatever he says to do in order to make that happen. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Everybody say you.
You.
Say you.
You.
See, there are a lot of times that we could get messed up. It says, whatever he's saying to everybody else, do it. See, you have situations that are specific for your life. Now, of course, there's some biblical things that we should all do. You can, if it's in the Bible and it fits you, you should do it. Amen. If the Bible's written to everybody, that means everybody should what? Do it. Whatever is to you, whatever you can find about yourself, you need to do it. We know that all the promises in the Bible we should do, right? And there's some specific promises that we have in there. But you know, God is still speaking today. There are certain things that you're going to do that nobody else is going to have to do for you to get your miracle. Now, he didn't tell them. Now, at that point, the whole world didn't go about doing whatever Jesus was telling them to do, did they? The whole wedding party didn't have to go and get these jugs, did they? No. The servants had to go, right? So a lot of times when people want promise, we'll miss out on stuff. It's because everybody say, whatever he says to you. We're always waiting for him to tell somebody else. And as soon as we see somebody else do something, we'll jump on it. Let me tell you what, God's got some stuff for you, and he's got some stuff for me. There are promises that I want. Now, everybody's not promised. How many of you got some promises that are dependent on other people? How many of you believe in God for a house? How many believe in God for a house, right? Now, are you going to, if God wanted to give you your house today and their house wasn't there yet, would you be upset and say, oh, that's not my house because she ain't got hers because she's believing too, would you? How many of you would do that? Or if God was healing people today and he wanted to heal something in your body, and you say, oh, forget it. Nope, this one beside me didn't get healed yet, so I got to hold on until everybody gets it. But you know, that's how we are when it comes to our responsibility. We want to receive God's blessings individually, you know what I'm saying? But responsibility, we want to take it on corporately. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. We all want to blend in with everybody else. We want to blend in with everybody else when it comes to responsibility. But we never want to separate ourselves. Amen. And say, everybody say, whatever he says to you. If it's your promise, guess what? You're going to be told some things specifically to do. You have to be listening to God. There's some things, and so that's really hard. How do you know when God speaks? Let me tell you what. You will never be able to discern the voice of God without a devotional life. You will never, don't think that God's going to pop up. You know, you don't pray, you don't read the word, you just don't take time with the Lord, and all of a sudden he's going to start speaking to you like you're his best friend. This kind of walk comes from people that have established a relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying you've got to get up every morning and throw yourself up under the bed. Some of you do, amen. But some of you, Brother Jesse, you drive in your car or in your truck or on your way to work, might want to cut off the radio sometime. You know, and if you don't want to open your mouth and pray, think about the Lord the way home. Come on, somebody, do what you can do. You know, if you can't pray, you don't know all the things that everybody else knew. And if you hear this one over here, this girl can pray in English for 5 hours. Amen. She knows all the stuff. I mean, she'll out Father for. I mean, she'll pray the wallpaper off the wall, and that's great. But not all of us have that ability, right? So we say, so you know what? You know, you got to start. You can develop the relationship with God. You know, and somebody say, well, I can't pray in tongues like everybody else. Well, everybody does have the ability to have a prayer language, but everybody's not going to really just go off like that originally. But you can develop your life with God, or you can develop your devotional life so you can increase your hearing just by thinking about the Lord a little bit more or acknowledging the Lord. He says, so I'm too bad to acknowledge God. My life's too messed up. I'm not there. No, nobody's too bad to develop a relationship with God. Now, you can do some things that will hinder your hearing, amen, but you got to start where you are. You got to start where you are. And if you think as soon as I get my life together, then I'm going to develop a relationship with God, you know, and things will get better. That thing that you develop will not be God. That'll be a deceiving spirit. It will not be God. Because God comes to us while we are yet in our sins. We don't have a God that we have to jump through hoops and go through stuff and then we get him. Amen. It didn't work like that way from the beginning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The God that you want is the God that can meet you today. If he can't meet you where you are today, that is not the Lord. Oh, people don't like that. That might be religion. Amen. That could be some screwed up theology and all this other stuff. You need a God that's going to be with you throughout all time, through the thick and through the thin. I'm not less than God's standards. Amen. If you're messed up, who's going to make you better? God. Amen. That's the God you need. Somebody say hallelujah. That will walk with you, that will love you and will care for you. And there are a lot of people that don't develop their relationship with God, because if they're going to get better, the only one that's going to get them better is the help of the Holy Ghost. There were a lot of people at the church I grew up in, they used to tell us you had to be saved and sanctified, living holy before you got the Holy Ghost. People waiting to get baptized in the Holy Ghost for 20-some years, amen, because they had sin in their life. As soon as you get that sin out of your life, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. So we get up there and foam at the mouth. People be foaming at the mouth for years. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, you ain't clean yet. Get a little bit cleaner, then the Holy Ghost will come in. Get a little bit more saved, then the Holy Ghost come in. You're not clean. Well, what's the Holy Ghost sent to do? To make you clean. The Holy Ghost has come to make you, right? To make you clean, to make you holy, to make you righteous. Right? So there are so many people that miss out on God, and they never grow spiritually. We always put these hoops for people to grow up, and I'm never going to do that to people, because that's not God. That's not in the Bible. He never met people that had their stuff together and said, oh, I'm going to walk with you because you're together. You're somebody I can deal with. He met people where they were, and he based where they were going on who he was. You'll take somebody right where they are and come in right then and say, hey, I love you. I love you right where you are. Jesus loves a sinner, but he loves him too much to leave him like that. So he's going to work with them. So we say, and then we say, well, that's not good enough for me. Well, thank God you're not God. Thank God you're not God. You don't have a right to let him not be himself. That's the kind of God he is. He wants to redeem. He wants to know everybody. And I've been telling Jesse and certain people, and that know me, I've noticed something about the church today and the religion today. They're taking God away from people. They're taking God away from people. Instead of them telling people that God is right beside them, they can reach out and take him. He's knocking at the door. Oh, you push. He's way off. Because of who you are, he is way off from you. He's way off from you. He's way. No, God is right at the door. He is right there. And anybody, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of Jesus, they'll be saved. Why? And he'll heal them when he calls. Why will he hear them when he calls? Why will he hear them when they call? Because he's right there. People never have to reach far to get God. Amen.